They will present the case of 29-year-old male patient presented on July 5, 2014 with dyspnea of human duration. It wasn't associated with cough, sputum production, wheezes, or hemoptysis. He had no arthralgia or myalgia, no other respiratory symptoms. He is a gardener and a stone cutter since 10 years. He has also many bears at his own garden, and he loves them more than his fiancée, as she said. During the presentation, he was a man, 180 centimeters, body weight was 143 kilograms, special weight faces with plethora. He had central and peripheral cyanosis, he had no clubbing. His pulse oximeter or room air revealed oxygen saturation of 87%. He had no history of snoring or daytime somnolence, as he has headache. Diurnal and nocturnal. He was maintained on prednisone by an outside physician, 50 milligrams per day. He had, in the past history, diabetes insipidus and received the treatment for 3 years replacement therapy, and he recovered, as he said. He was formerly smoker 13 per year, and he quit 1 year ago. This is the chest X-ray, which showed a reticular medullary infiltrate bilateral and all the lung field. This X-ray was taken on July 2014. And this is the CT scan of chest, also was done on July 2014, and shows reticular and medullary infiltrate all over the lung field with different sizes of nodules. He has also emphysematous changes in frequency. So this is medullary pattern, bilateral, and both lung field with some emphysematous changes. His laboratory test, the CBC revealed 13,400 with BMN 73%, platelet 210, and his hematocrit was 68%. The cardiac doctor revealed right ventricular dilatation and systolic pulmonary pressure 40 mm per day. Chest X-ray revealed the interstitial lung disease, and the CT scan of chest as seen here. And this chemistry study with physiological and his ESR was 22 per hour. The EKGs repeat a pH of 7.43, PaCO2 38, and PaO2 56, and his bicarbonate was 23. What is the most likely diagnosis? A neurosarcoidosis, collagen muscular disease, psittacosis, silicosis, obstructive sleep apnea. Psittacosis, the man, and the Asafir, and the Babalawad, and the Hamam, and the Shield. So it wasn't the case. Polysomnography revealed apnea happened, a hypopnea index of 11 per hour. And then that signal was applied for the patient. It was maintained on oxygen therapy, frequent phlebotomy is done, ANA, C-ANCA, RA latex were negative, and S level was normal. What's your next diagnosis? Interstitial lung disease with secondary erythrocytosis, obstructive sleep apnea with secondary erythrocytosis, polycythemia vera, methemoglobinemia, high altitude disorder. هو من سكان الجبل ارتفاع المنطقة اللي بيشتغل فيها 80 متر ساكن هونيك وبيشتغل هونيك جناناتي بعمل حيطان بيبلد بيعمل جنان بيشتغل بجنانه كمان ميثيموغلوبين ليفل واز نورمال اريثروبويتين ليفل واز نورمال نو فاميلي هيستوري فور اريثروسايتوسيس اور كونجنتال ميثيموغلوبينيميا اور اذر هيموغلوبينوباثي ذا بيشنت واز مانسيند اون بريدنيزون Colchicine as antifibrotic and ufilong because they had obstructive sleep apnea as a central stimulant of his respiratory center. What's your next step? Bronchoscopy, transbronchial biopsy, open lung biopsy, a thoracoscopy lung biopsy, 2 weeks course of doxycycline, or a whole body scan to find an erythropoietin secreting tumor. Bad biopsy result. The sample was tiny and small. Small sample with mild emphysema, focal fibrosis and a single fibrin thrombus. It was negative for interstitial lung disease or granuloma in the same position. This is the pathology. There were three small pieces, tiny pieces of the lung parenchyma taken by thoracoscopy. A confession. A long discussion with the patient about option of treatment while they are persistent hypoxemia, polycythemia, and interstitial disease with dyspnea, and the patient has to work with hard physical activity, and we ended with undiagnosed pathology, or we were not sure about the diagnosis. So we were discussing the options with the patient. I was alone with him. So, about the option of treatment ended with a confession by the patient. The patient said that he was not only receiving antidiuretic hormone for his diabetes and syphilis, but he was also receiving testosterone for his secondary hypogonadism. When he presented to me, it was with his fiance. He did not say that, but receiving gonadotropin hormone for erection and erectile dysfunction and hypogonadism. So he did not say that. He said he was receiving only ADH. So now he said he was, and he continued to receive testosterone. What's your final diagnosis? Testosterone-induced erythrocytosis, silicosis, obstructive sleep apnea, all of the above, none of the above. Clinical course, the patient erythrocytosis resolved after discontinuation of testosterone. He is now maintained on prednisone 30 mg per day to control his hypoxemia. He is receiving Ofinon as well. Erythrocytosis, the most frequent complication or adverse event with patient receiving testosterone. And this is what's seen by clinical trials and by clinical practice as well. Testosterone is an important regulator of erythropoietin and erythropoiesis. It affects the whole bone marrow. And there are around 40% of patients receiving testosterone, they develop erythrocytosis as a side effect. Also, testosterone can induce erythrocytosis with a recent theory that it affects hepcidin. Hepcidin is a peptide that regulates the erythropoietin. The decrease in the hepcidin level would help in increase of iron absorption and increase in systemic iron transport and erythropoiesis. So testosterone can cause erythropoiesis in two major mechanisms. The last follow-up of this patient was September 21st, this month, last month. His hematocrit was 51.9%, oxygen saturation 90% on room air, and the spirometry revealed a mild restrictive pattern with a small airway dysfunction. The patient is maintained on prednisone 25 mg, Ofinon 250 mg, oxygen therapy, and nasal CPAP. He is now married and happy. He has no erectile dysfunction. This is the last X-ray on September 21st. It did not change too much since the first one I have seen 2 years ago. Lesson to learn. Never take a history in presence of fiancé. And never allow a general surgeon to perform a fat lung biopsy. So, we were searching for a heterogeneous interstitial lung disease. We asked the surgeon, unfortunately at that moment, we did not have Dr. Pierre Lucet at our start. So I had the surgeon to have a good piece and large biopsy. And I told him, we have a heterogeneous lung disease, I need a large biopsy to figure out what's going on. And we had the three small tiny biopsy, which did not help us too much. Probably the patient was receiving 50 milligrams of prednisone at that moment for at least 6 weeks before he presented to me. I'm not sure at least silicosis or not, interstitial lung disease of various or different etiology or not, I'm not sure, but I'm sure that this high dose of steroid affected his pathology in the lung, and probably with this type of specimen we did not have the diagnosis. Till now, I don't know really what I'm treating, but he is responding. What do you think? It's an open question. Doctor. Fibroscopy. Sarcoidosis is not a heterogeneous lung disease. A small tiny biopsy for granulomatous, whether sarcoidosis or granulomatous disease like tuberculosis, biliary TB, as usually are sufficient for the diagnosis.
Okay, hypersensitivity pneumonitis, for example, because it has a birth.
بس بروكن لافاج مع السي بي 4 والسي بي 8 اوكي اتس ا جود ايديا
كمان اوتي كول تبع
اخذناهم كلهم كده الافيال
السيروجي افيال
بس انا
وانتي بوديز تو بيرز عندنا فارمز ديزيز وعندنا الافيال سمعتنا عن فرنسا الاوتي كول مع لافاج
Any suggestion, doctor? Follow.
Thank you, Dr. Nissen. With the follow-up of the X-rays and the CT scan, is there any amelioration after high steroid therapy?
I mean, I did not perform any CT scans, and the patient is 140. Unfortunately, our ECT machine cannot tolerate such a way. So this is why I relied on the last chest X-ray.
So I
cannot perform another CT scan because the machine cannot tolerate that.
So
the chest X-ray did not differ too much since 2 years, but there is a minimal clearance.
I think we should go for a good biopsy because
yes.
He is a young man, 29 years old. He has pulmonary hypertension of 40. Possibly, probably,
a silicosis.
I agree, there are many issues in this patient which are not resolved. And all of us have figured this following, but this is a very challenging and interesting case. Do you believe, I have a couple of questions, do you believe that this patient was pan-hypopit at some time, or you don't think he is a pan-hypopit? Pan-hypopit?
Probably he was.
Was he evaluated endocrinology-wise?
Probably he was.
No, was he in your hospital when you saw him in the
no,
hospital?
His problem was resolving when he presented to me. He received treatment for diabetes and syphilis by your colleague at the UH and he recovered. He doesn't need replacement therapy anymore. And his pituitary tumor, he said tumor, resolved without surgery, without radiation. It regressed and became normal, his hypophysis. And when he said he is receiving only testosterone and everything was normal.
He had a pituitary tumor and he had a cellular...
I'm not sure. We have no evidence.
Just what
he had a hypophysial problem and treated without surgery, without chemotherapy, without radiotherapy, by replacement therapy.
Okay, just one thing crossed our mind here that at some time we thought that he could be Langerhans just for...
Yes, this is a possibility, but do you think that a small biopsy, 3 times biopsy, did not show any lung cell pathology, a xenophilic invasion of the parenchyma? It should be visualized. Here on the specimen in the town, it's mostly lymphocytic here. Thank you very much.